call this meeting to order, the Student Media Selection Committee, on Saturday, April 2nd, 2016, at 1:09 PM in Friends of Humanities, room 233. So today we're going to be selecting the editor for the Sagebrush. We've got two applicants. Each applicant will be given a 10-minute presentation period, which will be followed by a question and answer period. At that point, we will ask the person being interviewed to step out of the room. They don't have to due to open meeting law. And both gentlemen applying, there are waivers you can sign up there saying that we can discuss you for the position. You are also more than welcome to stay in the room during the discussion. And then after that will be a roll call vote. Yay if you want to nominate and hire the candidate, nay if you choose to reject the nomination of the candidate, and oy if you're abstaining. So right now, I will move into agenda item number 2, introductions. If everyone could just say who they are and where they work around the table, so everyone knows who everyone is. Normally we wouldn't do this, but nobody knows anyone. So, you want to start, Tom?
Yeah, I'm Tom. I'm the GM of the library.
I'm Haley, and I work for ResLife.
I'm Nicole, and I'm the Redwood assistant for advertising for
Safeway. Hi, I'm Kelsey. I'm one of the senators for the College of Business.
I'm Brandon Boone, and I'm a senator for the College of Business.
I'm Zach Fusco. I'm the editor of Chief of Events at Magazine.
Attendance. Roll call.
Okay. Jordan Russell.
Here.
Nicole.
Here.
James Solis. Alexis Solis.
Here.
Ali Schultz.
Here.
Brianna.
Here.
Nicole Aldridge.
Here.
Zach.
Here.
Leona Novio.
Absent, unexcused.
Thomas Snyder.
Here.
Brandon Boone.
Present.
Senator Hannah, present. Haley Hinger.
Here.
And non-voting members, James Beattie.
Yeah, Beattie. Here.
And Jessica Salzman.
Absent, unexcused.
All right.
Or absent, excused, sorry. I should call it to you. Clap. Okay, so we'll start the selection process. Before we do that, does anybody have any questions about what I went over or how the process works? No? Gentlemen, can you both go sign your waivers really quickly? Do you need a pen?
Yes, please.
So what I'll be doing, we'll be hearing the nominees for the editor of the Sagebrush in the order that the applications were submitted. So first we'll be hearing from Ryan Supi. These a year, so I'm always a little rusty.
Happens.
Can I log into that computer now just so I know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Or Rebel.
Should I take the recorder up by soon or no? This one's not quite as good as the second one.
Oh no, it's
So you have 10 minutes, I'll give you a 5-minute warning, and then I'll give you a 1-minute warning.
Is it all right if I sit down?
Ha ha! I just like to remind everyone to speak up, so recording. They'll do a
that they will bring the people to campus and do a half day, they'll be a big force. We'll probably do lunch, and maybe lunch. Alright, I'm going to call this meeting to order on Saturday, April 2nd, 2016, 1 p.m. 1:24 p.m., sorry, correction, in Friends and Humanities Building, room 233. We're at the part of the process where we're going to hear from candidate Ryan Soupy's 10-minute presentation. I just moved in there. Roll call.
Jordan Russell?
Here.
Nicole?
Here.
Jacob Solis?
Here.
Alexis Solis?
Here.
Allie Schultz?
Here.
Brianna Denny?
Here.
Nicole Aldridge?
Here.
Zach Francisco?
Here.
Brianna Dohio?
Sorry, excuse.
Thomas Snyder?
Here.
Brandon?
Here.
Elsiana?
Here.
Kayla Hanger?
Here.
And non-paying member here.
Here.
Right. We're going to move into item number 4, the Nevada State Board selection process, and 4B, nomination of Ryan Soupy to the editor of the Nevada State Board. Ryan, you have 10 minutes. I'll give you a 5-minute warning and a 1-minute warning.
So, hello everyone. If you don't know my name, it's up there. So, just a little disclaimer before I start, there aren't going to be very many visual aids in this presentation. I apologize, but they're distracting for me, so I'm going to be doing a lot of reading from my script. If you ever need me to stop and like, say something again, or let me know, I probably won't take a little 10 minutes. So. I'm not really going to talk about myself either. I'm mostly just going to try to paint a picture of what the Sagebrush would look like if I were editor without visual aids. It's hard to paint a picture without visual aids. What should a student deliver to? When I decided that I wanted to be editor-in-chief of the Sagebrush, I did a lot of research on student newspapers at other colleges. I looked at the kinds of stories they were writing about, and the topics they were covering. I creeped on all their Twitter accounts, and whenever I went on a student paper's website, I looked for their mission statement. Mission statement is important because it shows you the bigger picture. It tells you what the newspaper is meant to accomplish. Whether an organization follows their mission statement is another story, but an editor-in-chief who cares about that mission, that end goal, sees the bigger picture, and can guide his or her staff in that direction. So this is the mission statement from the Daily Emerald. It's the student newspaper at the University of Oregon. It says, our mission is to train students, serve the University of Oregon community, and run a financially sustainable nonprofit business. Their mission, to train students, serve the community, and run a nonprofit business, is the same mission statement that I would have as editor of the Sagebrush. These would be my 3 goals. Now I'll explain each goal individually. The experience that a student can gain working for a student newspaper, or even just volunteering for a newspaper, is invaluable. It's not just a resume booster. As most of you know, it's hard work, but hopefully it's worth it to see your name in that byline. This is the attitude that I would encourage the Sagebrush staff to keep, and I would stress this to students who might be interested in volunteering. As editor-in-chief, I would take recruiting very seriously, and I would start immediately after filling the position, and never stop looking for volunteers. My goal is to find as many volunteers as possible from as many different backgrounds as possible. The more diverse voices, the better. Writing for the paper shouldn't just be limited to journalism students. Every student can benefit from writing and researching, and the paper can benefit from having more diverse voices. I would encourage editors, assistant editors, and other contributors to explore their interests, whether it be politics, sports, art, photography, or maybe even puzzles or cartoons. One great thing about student newspapers is the freedom we have. I wouldn't want people to feel confined in their section or feel like they have to focus on one thing because that's what they've always done. I would try to create an atmosphere where the staff can feel comfortable exploring their interests and making mistakes. The stakes aren't as high on the sagebrush as the RDJ, and we should take advantage of that. We are students here to learn, and that means making mistakes. Serve the community. I think serving the community is an obvious goal of any newspaper. This newspaper in particular should be starting discussions about what Nevada students are interested in and what we think students could be or should be interested in. Right now, the system for publishing the Sagebrush works. I wouldn't want to make any drastic changes to how the paper is published or which channels it uses. As editor, I would concern myself with the content that is being published more than anything else. The content needs to be more diverse. If the paper is truly serving the community, it should be representing the interests of everyone in the community. A lot of what is talked about in the Sagebrush revolves around the same groups on campus. I would encourage the staff to get outside of the Joe and outside of the J School. I would try to do a focus group with our readers before next fall or early next fall. I think the staff would benefit from hearing directly from the audience about what they would like to see from the paper. Students need to view the Sagebrush as not only a trusted source of information, but also a place where important discussions can be started. The Sagebrush is going to be an important source for information and debate leading up to the elections in November. I would use the summer to prepare for bigger events like the elections. This would involve talking to the staff about preparing long-form pieces or possibly a series. I think there needs to be more consistency in coverage and more follow-up articles. This will get the audience more engaged. I think the Sagebrush needs to devote more time to their online presence. Luckily, student newspapers are still pretty successful with print publications because of our environment, unlike the rest of the media industry. We all live, work, and go to class on the same campus and walk by the same newspaper stands. However, the best way to engage with our audience is online. I would try to cover more news throughout the week in between Tuesdays. Tuesdays is when the Sagebrush comes out. I know this would be difficult considering people are busy with school and other things, and a weekly newspaper is already a challenge, but I think it's possible. My vision involves shorter stories posted on the website and then shared on social media. This will drive readers to our website and improve our social media brand. I would want to tweet a lot more. We can't expect students to wait for the news once a week. Social media doesn't have to be just for sharing articles. It's a great tool for sharing information and engaging with students. The Sagebrush is a business and must bring in money through advertisers to continue to publish. I took a quote from the advertising page of the Sagebrush, or the Sagebrush advertising page where we ask our advertisers to go. It says, "One of the oldest student newspapers in the nation, the Nevada Sagebrush, has remained a consistent and aggressive voice of the University of Nevada Reno students since 1893. It is your source for marketing to a diverse community of over 18,000 students, their parents, and faculty at UNR. If the Sagebrush voice isn't strong, advertisers aren't going to want to advertise in the Sagebrush. To encourage a strong voice, as editor-in-chief, I would try to improve the brand of the Sagebrush.
You have 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay. I'd like to sponsor events that our readers would be interested in. If we are writing a lot about diversity, we should sponsor a diversity event like the one happening this week. Also, ASUN hosts a coffee break series about once a month where they bring journalists and political leaders to talk to our students, and I think we should be involved in that. Also, we could host forums and discussions talking about important issues that our students would want to know.
Okay. We've concluded the 10-minute presentation. We'll now move into questions and answers from the selection committee forum. seeking a nomination to suspend Robert's Rules of Order for the general debate only. Brandon?
I move to suspend Robert's Rules of Order for the general debate.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. Abstention?
What? I'm sorry.
Do you have another question?
Oh, all right.
I skipped on my script. My bad. I'm seeking motion to return to Robert. Senator Booth?
Move to return to Robert.
Second? Do I have a second? Zach? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Abstentions? Okay, sorry. Letter of question and answer period for our candidate.
So you mentioned the problem of volunteers, obviously getting volunteers, but for the sagebrush, it's a perennial problem. We had this discussion last year, and it was very well on this room. And in any case, we had this discussion already, and we have this discussion every year, every month, every week. So do you have any concrete strategies right now to get more volunteers in the newsroom?
Well, I thought about maybe talking to some journalism professors about using content that students are writing in their classes. So, for example, a storytelling class or a magazine writing class. My sister went to a small liberal arts school in California, and they didn't have a journalism program, but they had a student newspaper. And in the writing classes, students would do their assignments, which were topics that students would want to hear about because they're the ones writing it, obviously. And they would look at all the assignments that students did throughout the semester, and then they would pick ones that could go on the sagebrush or in the student paper, and they would publish them in the paper. I think that's one way of finding content outside of the staff. But concrete ideas for actually recruiting students, that's something that I would have to think about over the summer. I go to orientation, obviously, go to classes.
Tom?
You say in your letter of intent that you love this school. Why do you love this school?
Why? I started loving the school when I got involved. Fall of 2014, I joined ASUN. And I think getting involved just shows you everything that's happening around the campus that you normally wouldn't see. I love that there's almost 300 clubs and orders on campus that people are actually doing stuff that they care about. I don't love how hilly it is. I love Reno because it's cool and conservative at the same time.
Frank,
what skills do you think you've acquired in your current director position that can carry over to that editor position?
Obviously, public relations skills, social media, developing a brand, marketing, which is something that I would try to carry over to the Sagebrush. I think the Sagebrush could use some more marketing. I think I've met a lot of people that can help me as editor and help the whole staff in general. I made connections with faculty, clubs, club leaders, ASUN people, obviously.
Sure. You had a position on the Sagebrush staff last year that you chose to leave. So why did you choose to leave the position, and why are you deciding to return now?
Well, the straight answer is to boost my resume. I felt like that senator position would look pretty good on a resume. But ever since I left, I've always wanted to come back. I wanted to last year, but I had a job and continue to volunteer. So,
good follow-up.
I just want to follow up. So, if you left because the senator position looked better on your resume, then is that why you're coming? Is that why you want to re-enter the Sagebrush with the highest position on staff?
No. If I don't get this, I'm going to apply for any other job that I can, honestly. I want to be in print journalism. That's what I want to do. And this is the best way to do that. So any way I can write for the school paper, work for the school paper, that's why I'm here.
So you're currently a volunteer for the Sagebrush. I know you still write for multiple sections. So you're familiar with the deadline process and kind of the nuts and bolts of what we do. But how do you think you'll overcome the challenge of coming into a staff that's already established and familiar with one another where you're not as present in the newsroom currently?
I think for this type of organization, you don't really need to be familiar, and sometimes it's even better not to be familiar with your staff. Obviously, you guys are all friends, and I hope to be your friends soon. But I'd like to be judged on, you know, my vision for the paper rather than my relationships with people, because I think this paper is supposed to be unbiased, fair, and sometimes relationships can get in the way of that.
I'm curious to know, because as far as your resume goes, you have positions that really direct towards managing large staffs, and I want to know what your approach to managing staffs are, and how do you plan on building a rapport with your staff?
I wouldn't think of this position so much as a boss. The editor-in-chief, like I said earlier with my mission statement spiel, it's about guiding the vision of the paper. So my approach to managing a staff would be, first of all, surrounding yourself with the right people. That starts from the very beginning, and then trusting those people to do their job the right way.
Okay. You mentioned in your presentation exercising a certain amount of editorial control because the breadth of content in the city.
Can you start over? I missed one word. Start over.
All right, I'll rephrase. So you said that the breadth of content is too narrow in the city. Can you give like an example of what you mean by that? Like a particular section, maybe a series of stories that you thought was short.
I think probably arts and entertainment would be most diverse section because every story they write is something off campus, not every story, but they go off campus. Sorry, Allie, but I'd say opinion would be the least diverse just because of the people who are writing for opinion. It's usually people who, I use this term a lot, but people who hang out with the Joe, which means, you know, people who are involved in clubs or Greek life, or our journalism students. So my approach to that would be just trying to go outside of that, try to recruit outside of that sphere. Go to the English department, go to the political science department, go to the philosophy department, and encourage people to write for the Sagebrush because A, it's good for them, and B, it's good for the community. Ideas from different kinds of people.
How?
Kind of tagging along with content, you talked about that quite a bit, and I'm just kind of curious to, for yourself, what issues on campus matter most to you?
Tailgates being taken away. those are issues that are kind of specific to this university and specific to college in general. But there are other issues such as diversity among faculty that are everywhere, as we saw at University of Missouri, stuff like that.
So, diversity among the faculty.
Sure.
Parking.
Parking.
Tailgates.
Okay.
I think that the parking and diversity are really the topics du jour, and the Sagebrush has, I think, covered that extensively. Maybe not parking, but we covered it once. Once you say it once, what is that going to say? So, how would you change these conversations that the Sagebrush has already had this year?
Well, like I said, just more consistent coverage. So, say you write one parking article, right, in the news section. Follow up. You know, what has changed since your last article? Or get someone else to write a parking article from a different perspective. Talk to different people. How is this affecting one group of students compared to how it's affecting a different group of students?
Yeah.
So you've worked as a senator prior to applying for this position, and it's well known that Sagebrush talks about or writes articles on the Senate consistently. So if you have biases, how would you plan to handle them or work with them?
What kinds of biases?
Like, I'm not too familiar. I have, from my experience in the Sagebrush office, heard that it can get riley, even though I've never delved into the details. So I assume it's on, like, either the people who are within Senate or the policies that might be going on or being talked about, or I'm not sure if laws is the right word, but different things that are being enacted that affect the student body.
So would I have a bias towards ASUN?
Yes.
No. Yes, I worked in ASUN for 2 years, and I enjoyed my time there. And had good positions, and I met a lot of people and made a lot of friends. But if I were hired as editor-in-chief of the Sagebrush, my main focus would be what's best for the Sagebrush. I would leave any relationships that could affect that at the door.
You mentioned that you believe the content needs to be more consistent with branded to attract advertisers, but more often the issue is that advertisers want to control content. And whether you see the position as managerial or not, the editor-in-chief has to make those calls for the final voice. So how would you handle that conflict?
Well, advertising should never control conflict, or content, sorry, first of all. And the people, the advertisers that are working with the Sagebrush, I don't think, well, you would know better than me, but I don't see that coming up.
It does.
Can you give me a specific example, and then I'll talk about that?
Well, today, I got an email from wants to have access to content before it's published because she believes that previous content damaged her business.
If the content was fair and true and accurate, then it's going to be published. I mean, advertisers shouldn't have any say in that.
Okay, what if that means that we lose advertising dollars?
I'm hoping that the overall trust in the paper will kind of win over that. I've never looked at the Sagebrush budget, which is something I'll have to do in the coming months. But
Jacob, sorry.
So in your resume, you state that as ASUN Director of Campus and Publications, you're responsible for advancing and maintaining the ASUN brand by developing successful marketing strategies. Kind of following her question, but also, how
how do you think you're most successful in doing that, but what were also your biggest flaws in doing? Like, do you think...
Yeah, in the previous position, or...?
Yeah, in your previous position, do you think that you, like, truly advance and maintain the ASU brands, and how?
Well, that's a tough question, because everyone hates ASU already, so... Your job is pretty hard right off the bat. I'd say most of the time, when I'm, I'd say a lot of the time it's more protecting the brand, dealing with situations that come up that could make us look bad. Specifically, there's stuff I can't really talk about because it would affect other people. But, advancing the brand, I created the ASUN newsletter. That was just kind of a way to be more transparent and to highlight some people who participate on campus and don't get as much recognition as others. So we tried to do highlight one club every month that a lot of people don't know about. I worked a lot with ThinkBlog on individual projects. Social media type stuff.
Okay. Returning to the Sagebrush as a business, what are your thoughts on native advertising? What is essentially advertising? Like, basically, advertisers pay the paper to create an advertisement in the form of a story. But we would clearly mark and label it, but it is an advertisement.
Sagebrush do that?
We don't.
We get requests from advertisers to cover things in content, basically to provide free advertising.
I'm not a fan of that type of thing, but I mean, if we're really hurting for money, maybe that's something that can go on social media. I don't think advertising should affect content.
Tom? Where do you see the Sagebrush in 2 years, and do you think that there's a future left for print medium?
In 2 years, I hope that there's just that the readership is more diverse, first of all. Confidence in general, not just on campus for the Sagebrush, but in the community. In 2 years, I hope the Sagebrush is competing with the RGJ regularly for stories. I think that as Reno becomes more of a college town, I think the Sagebrush is going to become more important. We're right in the middle of, you know, a medium-sized media market, and that's a lot of power. There's us and the RGJ and the Reno Business Review, and the university is one of the most important parts of the city. And you know, we work here, and we have the best access to any story that could break here. And I hope in 2 years that the Sagebrush is. So the RGJ has an education section in their paper. But our whole staff could be in education sessions.
So to follow up with that, you mentioned you really want to...
Second question.
Do you think that there's a future left in print media?
Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, no worries.
Here, yes, I think there is. I think student newspapers have an advantage over everyone else in the media industry because of the environment that we live in. Students are, you know, walking around the same places. We're confined almost to the space where we can go to class together, talk to each other, eat with each other. And I think a print newspaper still has a place in that type of environment, whereas out in the community, you have to want to subscribe to this information. But here,
it's more, it's around us. So I think student newspapers will always be print, maybe not always, but for the time being, I think they will.
So you mentioned wanting to cover the community as well as on the campus stuff a lot more, and this is definitely a conversation we have almost on a weekly basis, but a lot of our problem lies in we only have 12 pages in which to fit stories, and anticipating your answer of saying maybe putting it online, but how will you handle in the case that we don't find volunteers, because in actuality finding volunteers is a lot harder than people that don't work as people think it is. How would you handle putting more stories online and generating that content when your staff is probably already juggling school, another job, and writing all of their stories for the weekly print edition?
I know it's hard, but going back to what I was talking about as the training students, I think when we're recruiting, the important thing to stress is that this is good for you. I think people don't see the Sagebrush as a learning opportunity unless they work there. Obviously, you guys work there. But publishing stories in only 12 pages, it's tough. But one idea I had was throughout the week, maybe if you guys have seen the RGJ does a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like news recap, just short stories about what's going on, and I think they do it over email. They used to do it over email. But just have somebody that's writing short stories throughout the week if they want to, and if not, I'll do it. I think it's just about getting content out to our readers consistently and not making them wait a whole week to get the news, because the news is happening 24 hours a day.
But kind of a follow-up question, who will do the training with the students? Like, who do you intend to train the incoming volunteers and stuff on, that kind of things? Because another problem we have is it's really hard to get all of us who are doing so much to attend, like, workshops and stuff like that, where we can all make it.
I think finding outside resources, I would encourage students to go to the journalism school, talk to teachers. And I think if we're getting a lot of volunteer articles, the staff could work together to, so say a volunteer submits an article and it's not the best in the world, the staff, you guys know what you're doing, you make it better. I think it's more of a us training each other. I think the brand is student newspaper, and my goal would be to make it just newspaper. So I think people see it as focusing on student issues on campus, but like I said earlier, as we become more of a college town, I think we can improve the brand of the Sagebrush by covering more of the same stuff that RGJ is covering.
So that people would cover the university
campus? Well, both. Sagebrush will cover both university campus.
So just now you said that I think that, well, the theme that's kind of emerging is that you want the Sagebrush to be more on par with other local media outlets like the RGJ and to be just a newspaper, not a student newspaper. But in your presentation, you said that you wanted to create an atmosphere in which people are comfortable trying new things and in which it's okay to make mistakes because the stakes aren't as high here as they are for a professional publication like the RGJ. So how do you reconcile those two visions?
Well, just because we make mistakes doesn't mean we're not a good newspaper. So when I think about other media outlets around Reno, RGJ, KUNR, globally, when they're looking for young people to work for them, they're going to go to the journalism school here on campus. And those are the people that we also want to work for us. And I think the way that we can separate ourselves from those types of professional outlets is we have a lot more freedom to kind of write what we want to write.
But then how, I guess I'm just not understanding how the freedom to make mistakes works into this, because when you're talking about making mistakes at a publication, I mean, there are things like having to retract misinformation, misattributing information, spelling people's names wrong, and I mean, do you think that's all part of the process, or do you see that as something that would hurt people's credibility and ability to reach a more professional standing in the community?
When I say mistakes, I mean more of what my response was to Brianna's question about just working together to put out the best newspaper. By mistakes, I don't mean names spelled wrong. I mean just learning how to be a better journalist. I think that that's what separates the Sagebrush from the professional papers, is we're here to learn. We're not getting paid a yearly salary. We're not going to get fired for spelling somebody's name wrong. You know, we have that freedom to learn.
You say things like great newspaper. I know that you talked about like how you want to be on par with RGJ and such, but what does a great newspaper look like to you? Does this mean more infographics, more diverse writers? What does that mean beyond just like the RGJ?
I think a great Sagebrush looks like it's when groups on campus can trust that when we're talking about their interests, that we're reaching a wide audience. So when we're talking about so the Japanese Club, we write an article on the Japanese Club because they just had a great event. I think a great newspaper has that trust where the Japanese Club knows that not just Greek life is reading about their event. You know, they know that that what goes into the newspaper are topics that every student is interested in. Not every student, but that we're covering interests of all students, different types of students.
I have sort of a two-part question. This last year, just working at the Sagebrush, I think it's pretty understood, and I think you working at ASUN in the past understand that the Sagebrush and ASUN they don't really have a great relationship, a working relationship. I know President Fabi was not very great working with us. Do you have any plans that you would have if you were elected to maybe better that relationship between us and ASUN and make it more of a working environment instead of like a constant attack and rebuttal?
To be honest, I don't believe that the Sagebrush and ASUN needs to have a good relationship. And that's coming from the former PR director. It's not necessary. It can be helpful, but sometimes those relationships can also be hurtful. If it affects what the Sagebrush is covering, then there shouldn't be a relationship there. And by effect, I mean the Sagebrush isn't writing about something because of their relationship with ASUN. Sagebrush should be the watchdog over ASUN.
Okay, so that pretty much answers my follow-up question, because I think you know better than anybody there are things that go on in ASUN that maybe we don't cover necessarily now because of our relationships with people that are in ASUN, and obviously you and Terrence both have relationships with people that are in ASUN, as do I. Would you feel comfortable exposing things that are going on that students don't know about, despite your personal relationships?
If it's necessary, yes.
Yeah.
Going back to how you answered Tom's questions regarding building trust with the students, so far in this conversation and this question and answer period, you've talked about becoming more of a community newspaper in part with the RGJ, but how will you build that trust and also become a community newspaper with your current resources of your current staff numbers, your current budget, and your current page count? How will you consolidate those two things? Because I think there are a lot of steps that have to happen in between.
I've also said that recruiting is going to be extremely important to me, and I know you guys know it's hard, but I want to find people who are passionate about certain issues, and they're passionate about writing for a newspaper, whether they're getting paid or not. I went to Ohio University my freshman year, which has a really good journalism school, and their school paper is extremely competitive. Competitive meaning everyone wants to write for the paper. Not everybody gets to, because they only take the best. And nobody got paid on that staff. I think the copy editors got paid like $20 a week or something like that, and they worked hours and hours and hours. So I think in the recruiting process, it's just about finding people who are passionate about it. And I think that will help build trust on campus and in the community, because we're talking about things that matter.
So, moving forward to make it more of a newspaper and not a student newspaper, I know for my section, one of my most read pieces this year was not being able to drink at student tailgates, something that probably wouldn't show up in the RGJ, encouraging, not necessarily encouraging, but just that it's taking away from a college experience. Would you deter from including pieces like that, or?
No. I think college newspapers are fun. They're supposed to be fun, because college students are fun. So I would encourage students to continue to write about stuff like that, especially in intention. But at the same time, I would encourage students to be breaking important student stories in the news section, just as important as the stories that the RGJ is bringing. But still be fun.
Can you tell us about a time that you had to demonstrate leadership and had to rally a team?
One of the real interview questions. So, when I was senator last year, I was on the Committee on Civic Engagement, and we were putting together a spelling bee. We made the month of March Read Month. We were encouraging just reading among young people. And it was getting close to the day of our spelling bee, and nothing was ready. I was the vice chair of the committee, and our chair was nowhere to be found. So I tried to take control and do everything that she would have been doing had she been there. And we put on a pretty great spelling bee. Worked with, like, very last minute, we went and asked the owner of Sundance Books to be the moderator of the spelling bee, and she said yes. And it was fun. It was a successful event when it probably shouldn't have been.
What is a successful year for you, for the Sagebrush? If you do become better, how would you define success after that year?
Well, there's no real statistics, I don't think, that I can give you a certain number of increased reach. successful year for me is people writing important stories. Whether, you know, that increases our leadership or not, I think that's what would be most important. Is we started a discussion about topics that students are passionate about.
Have a quick question. Currently, we have no data from Sagebrush. Not a lot of data. It's reported annually. So, like right now, I don't know what the readership is week by week. If collected, what data would you start keeping track of, and how would you go about doing that?
Well, I would like to do a focus group. What that would look like specifically, I don't know, but. That's the kind of data that I would be interested in is what kind of newspaper do the students want on this campus? And I think the only way to get that is by talking to students. Sports, but Jack Rieger wrote an article about UNLV coach getting fired. It was, you guys know what I'm talking about. It was good. That was my favorite. And that was a long time ago, and I still remember it, so I guess that's why it's good.
If elected, which fraternity do you plan to join, if any?
I'm very strongly
anti-fraternity. He's actually a member of Uzma Kappa. He's a single member. So
president.
He's the president already. Where he gets his leadership skills.
Excellent question.
Right. Any further questions before we commence? Right, seeing no further questions, for the nominee, we have concluded and we'll move on to the discussion period. I'm actually not going to seek a motion. This is kind of from the board. At this time, candidates would be you can either stay or leave the room. So let's start with discussion. If you want to say something, just put your hand out.
When we have, doesn't Terrence present?
No, we still have a question. Oh, we can. Okay, you want to do that? You want to move
yes.
On to the next one? All right,
yes.
Let's move on to the next one. Tom, will you please get candidate final? You have
it. Yeah.
I'm very
impressed.
Oh, I love her. You don't know me and her room 127.
I just told Leona I was impressed by her hustle. I got ready in 30 seconds. I literally got dressed. And I yelled at my roommate to leave over here.
Thank you.
All right, perfect. How is everyone? I'm assuming good. All right. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Terrence Bynum. I'm a journalism major here at the university. I've been with Nevada Sagebrush for almost 3 years now, which is really cool, and I've had a great time. I started off as the office manager and worked my way up to multimedia editor and then editor-in-chief for this year. So I just wanted to kind of go over just some of the stuff I've done in the past, which sparked my interest in this position just a short year ago. And it was multimedia and running the Twitter, the Facebook, on the Instagram. And I finally got to be a part of the paper in a different capacity rather than just ordering markers and, you know, paper for the printer. And, you know, I still wash my occasional coffee cup, but that's not really what I wanted to be doing at the time. And then I realized once I started to actually put work into the paper in a different setting, I realized I really love the Nevada Sagebrush. All right, so last year, one of our biggest problems that we were running into, besides communication, was organization. And this year, we've been implementing a lot of use with our Google Drive, and I can't take the full responsibility for that. Actually, that was Brianna Denny who set up a format, and we actually use it week in and week out. Now, I do take full responsibility on implementing that every week and making sure that we're updating our budget, making sure everyone knows what we're writing about, knows what needs to be done, and this has made everything a lot easier on us. Rather than, you know, calling 5-10 people, you can, you know, hop on your laptop or your phone and just see, okay, so-and-so is writing this, and they may need this kind of help, and just stuff like that. So that's been really cool this year. And then also was office hours for me, but I would say, like, towards the end of fall, I just kind of, I was there. Like, if people wanted to come in, they'd come and talk to me. But I had, like, set office hours in the beginning, but I realized it really wasn't that useful. What was useful is people emailing me or just walking the office when I was there and then just setting up a one-on-one meeting. And then also updated forms, which kind of ties into the Google Drive, which we started using last year. I proposed having a photo kind of like checklist, and I think some of you that were at the election last year, I actually passed out and you guys could see it, but instead of wasting paper, we use everything on the drive now, and kind of took care of everything with this one solution. With the Google accounts and organization was pretty much like taken care of. We have our budgets up there, we upload our stories there, they can go to different editors. I think it's been more than helpful for the copy editors, and I think they can definitely attest to that. All right, and then communication, I'd say, has been fixed a lot. We're at a place at the Nevada Sagebrush where a lot of people weren't really talking to each other. A lot of people just didn't see eye to eye. And it went past, like, looking at your peer and not really caring for that person. But I'm a firm believer in, you may not like someone, but if you're at your job, you need to be working. So I don't really care if you like them, if you're friends with them, you're on the clock. So we had to make sure that we took care of that this year. And I think we did. We use our Facebook page. Everyone has each other's numbers for the most part. And I think that I've created more of an environment where you can finally have an open dialogue and know that your voice is going to be heard and not just looked over and just passed along. And yeah, I'll get back to that. No. When someone speaks up in the office and they have a concern, it's taken care of. May not be right away, but it is taken care of and worked on because that's just who I am. And I think a lot of people on the staff know that I am really good at communicating, especially if you're voicing something to me. that's pretty much, it's like my niche. So I wanted to make sure everyone was on the same board this year, and inner office communications have finally been, I wouldn't say fixed 100%, but they've been deeply improved. So I also wanted to touch on community outreach last year, something that I also touched on. And this year we did something really cool that I really take pride in, and that was a partnership we did with ASUN doing Wolfpack's Best. And it was definitely something I wasn't as open to at first, because I felt like it was kind of like a forced idea. Like, hey, we're going to put these things together and then you're going to publish it. And that's not how this works. So I wanted to make sure that it was a joint effort on both ends, ASUN and the Nevada Sagebrush. And so we figured it out. I think when the idea came around, I just passed around a quick little flyer onto the staff, and they got to make some quick edits to that, and then we solidified like a list of what exactly we're going to be naming the Wolfpack's Best. And with that, when we delivered the plaques, I also delivered media kits to the businesses, just in case they wanted to further advertise with us, or just know what the Nevada Sagebrush is in general. And then just touching on advertising, Nicole and I have done some really cool stuff this year, and we finally have ads online, and that's something that we've been pushing for a long time. I can't really take full responsibility for that, but I will say that I really saw the potential it had for funding for our paper, and it's done a lot. I mean, the flag has been on the website for a couple months now, and so I couldn't be happier. All right, and then just like two things I'll touch on really quick, because I only have 5 minutes. What is it, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just tie them in together. So this upcoming year, if I'm reelected, I want to restructure the multimedia position and also add two positions after looking at the budget and making sure that we can do that. I'm pretty positive we can. And pretty much what I want to do for multimedia is not just social media uploads. I want them to be looking at the Google Analytics, web stats, and things like that, which we all look at on a weekly basis. But I want it to be put together on just a fluent document where everyone can see, okay, these stories did well this week. These stories were looked at in this part of the United States. Whatever it may be, I want multimedia to be used to its full potential. You know, this is a full-on editor position that I've held before, and I know that mine was a little less structured because I came into it and there really wasn't any rubric or guide for me to go off. I kind of just jumped into it, and that's what I just want to make sure that this is restructured into that. And the reason why I want to bring on two staff writers is for productivity. I think that everyone can agree on this stuff, that week in and week out it does get hard to, you know, find a volunteer or to write your own section in some cases. And I think having those two staff writers would make it a lot easier, not just on the staff, but it would also give us a really cool opportunity to get people who maybe don't think like us and maybe are involved in different avenues on campus and have a different take on a piece that we may not have. So not only are we helping out the staff, but we'd also be getting some hopefully fresh new ideas. And then I also wanted to bring on, 1 minute, are we done?
1 minute,
okay. So videographer, I want to bring that in to work with the multimedia editor, and it would be solely assignment-based, so it wouldn't be a pay where they would get paid every pay period. It would be a position that we bring in, or just a person that we have, and we know that they're going to get paid for an assignment that they're doing, and I just want to bring that person, because we really do lose out on some really awesome opportunities to tie in just multimedia pieces with stories, especially during football season, art galleries. There's no reason why we can't have some sort of video alongside a piece on our website and just sharing that. So, and then look at these guys. Like, this is why I love doing what I do. And like, this picture really sums it all up, you know. we don't need to get into specifics, but it really is. It's a lot of fun. I've had the time of my life this year, and I hope you guys let me have another time of my life.
So we've had troubles with volunteers this year, I'd say. And we tried early in the year to have a decent database. And I think that at this point you see that it's just not enough. So what more can we do as a staff of the paper or you to bring in that volunteer base?
I think you're right. We have tried a lot of different things. We've had a pizza party. We've done what we can, but I think on my part it's just being more vocal, honestly, with professors and different leaders on campus, because until I took on editor-in-chief, I didn't realize how many amazing writers there are on this campus that are outside of the J School. And it was a little naive to think then, but now I finally see that, you know. So I think that going in different places on campus, I mean, even the building that we're standing in now, Franz, and reaching out here, I mean, could give us so many different options for volunteers. And I think that we're just going to have to make it a team effort. And, you know, it can't just be put on one person to find writers, to find photographers, to find, you know, people who are good with multimedia. I think it's going to have to be like a group effort and take time and planning on maybe a new strategic plan on how to get volunteers and to keep them consistently. But I, to counteract that, it's kind of where I wanted to bring in the staff writers, just to have those two extra bodies, two extra eyes, to be helping out with the sections. But that doesn't mean that's the solution to not having volunteers either.
Before we move on to the next question, I just want to remind everyone that, and this has nothing to do with the question, remind everyone that all the questions should be pertinent to the job and not personal.
Why do you think why are you guys having so much trouble getting volunteers?
I don't think that we're having trouble getting volunteers. I think we're having trouble keeping volunteers. And I think it's because it's tedious work. You know, I think you have to, you know, write a piece, and you have to get a copy editor, then you have to send it in, and you have to come in and get a mugshot, and then you have to, you know, it's like all these different things that when I look at it and I look at a student from day-to-day life, if you're not passionate about something that you're writing, you know, and if you're not, like, really in it, like, trying to get some sort of message out there, you're just not interested. And I think that we have a great platform for students and professors to use, but it's just it's hard keeping them, and I don't have a for sure answer on why that is, but I know that I have a staff that's more than willing to work with each and every person who comes and writes for us, so I know that they're getting the attention that any of these guys would get on a deadline. So I don't know. I think mainly on our end, I think that it goes with not having a structured multimedia position and not going in and just a lot of that's on my end. Just assuming that someone can take on a position and know what I did is very bad, and I shouldn't have thought that. And I think that going back into it, just creating a plan for them to have some sort of consistency into what they're posting, when they're posting, and how we need it done. And I think really it's taking a close look at the person's schedule as well. I think this year with our multimedia editor, she's had a rough year, you know? And even when someone has a rough time, something goes on in their life, they should be able to do their job and still perform. But I think that had a lot to do with it. And to improve it, I'm just going to have to go through and just reevaluate the position and really put down things that are going to be solidified. This is what needs to get done. This is what, you know, like having real expectations rather than, hey, can you post some stuff? And that's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah.
I think as a staff, we all agree that the website is not really doing it for us. What are your plans for not only changing the website's actual layout, kind of how it's functioning? functioning for us, but also generating web content.
Okay, so I'll answer the first part. So the first part, we go through a web redesign every, I want to say 4 years, or yeah, 4 years. So we're coming up on it now. So I mean, I'm not the like woodiest person when it comes to like web design or anything like that, but I want to kind of just reference university newspapers that have, you know, won those awards for their websites, and just not just, you know, copying that layout, but really looking at it, okay, why was it chosen? You know, what kind of things do they have on their website that made it stand out? And I think we're just really going to have to go to the drawing board and look and see what our options are first. For content, I think that we should be updating more content, especially not just on Tuesdays, you know, or Mondays. And I think that's where we can kind of play with our options with the staff writers and, you know, having them not only be like a, not only a staff writer, but having them be outreach to find, you know, different writers, not just for web, but also the newspaper. And I think they can all, like, be really good liaisons, I guess, between volunteers and the actual staff. So I, once we get there, then I can finally decide that.
So it's a two-part question, but the first part, with this videographer that you're bringing on, does that mean the multimedia editor will no longer be responsible for videos?
No, no. It just means that they'll be getting someone who's actually, that's their expertise, that's their niche, you know, because I'll be the first one to say, like, even though I have a background in video, it's not what I want to do, you know, so it's, I'm not, like, an expert at it. I can put a video together and make a, you know, a decent video and put it somewhere, but having someone where this is what their focus is on is much more important to me because I know we're going to get the best work out of that.
So then with that position, how are you going to stress if they actually produce content? Because we've had multiple people in that position, and I think we have such high expectations for it, but I would say with the 4 years I've been on the paper, they've never been met.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you make sure, video is a huge part of journalism right now, that videos are being produced on a weekly or at least bi-weekly basis?
Well, I think just after the restructure of the multimedia position, we're going to have to go through and we can actually just make a calendar. We can get an idea of what the staff and what the editor wants to see that we need video content for. Because not everything is relevant to video, you know, because we don't want to record everything that's going on around campus, time-lapse videos, what? So, I mean, just having a schedule set up and just going through, okay, hey, we have X, Y, and Z going on, you know, elections are coming up, we can set up that Q&A, you can get such and such down, and because it would be assignment-based, that videographer would have no choice but to get the assignment done to get paid.
What do you think the role of the researchers in the reading community?
I think right now, a lot of people look to us as the voice of the students, but not just that, also a tool for students too, to use to get into the professional world. I can't tell you like how many people I've talked to that I would never suspect have like actually written for the paper while they went to school here, have you know, gotten their first job because they wrote for the Sage Rush. And I think right now we play just a huge role in having a voice for the students, and people pick up our newspaper when they want to know like what's going on campus. And that's not just students here. I'm saying when people come off the street, you know, they're walking through the Joe, they're walking through Franz, and they just want to know what's going on. They pick it up, and it's our work that they're looking to for that voice to see what's going on.
If you say that the Sagebrush is there for people, like for students to get professional experience, etc., why are you having such problems getting volunteers?
I'm not really sure. Maybe we're not being vocal enough. Maybe I'm not doing as much outreach as we should be. I mean, people who come and volunteer for the Nevada Sagebrush, they want to volunteer. So, I mean, you find people who actually want to come in and just write, and you have people that come in, they think about it, they're kind of like iffy about it. But the thing is, I'm not going to come and have someone and force them to write for a newspaper, because I want the best content to go in the paper, and I'm not going to sit here and hold anyone's hand. either. I'm just not. And I don't think anybody here would either. So, I mean, I don't, it's not us having, like, any kind of attitude or anything like that. It's just people just don't come and do it. And that's just going to be on our part in having to reach out and get people to come and write for us.
What is your philosophy with social media? How do you plan to get people engaged? You guys have over 4,000 followers on Twitter, yet you're only getting a few likes or a few favorites and things like that. How are you going to get students and people engaged on social media?
I think this year we had a really cool beginning to the year, and we were giving our social media personality, you know, and that's something that I thought I did pretty well when I took over. But right now it's really to get those likes and those favorites. It's when we have stories that pertain to students that they really connect with or that are really relevant to them. So I think that looking through the topics of the week and being a little more strategic with what we post is what we're going to have to do. Because right now I know the philosophy behind the posts that are happening. It's what's on, you know, the cover of that section, how am I going to post it right now? And I think that there's just not a lot of thought being put in by the multimedia editor. But also, because it is during deadline, when we sketch out, okay, this is what's going to be posted and what posts are going to happen, I think that it just kind of gets looked over sometimes and people forget, hey, this should be the story that's being shared. So, I mean, improving that for next year, if I'm reelected, it's just going to have to go through a lot of the restructuring for the position in general. And that's on me.
Do you have a philosophy behind social media, getting more people engaged?
Not necessarily. I just know that when we post things that pertain to students, that's what gets like the most interactions, especially on the website. And something that's just like catchy or like, maybe someone who's like well known on campus, and then they write for us, and then they share their stuff. People engage in it. So my philosophy is pretty much just putting. It's not always the best work, but it's putting out what students care about the most at that time. It could be anything during the week. You just don't know.
I think in the past year, it's safe to say that there have been certain things that have maybe gone on in ASUN behind closed doors that maybe we know about before other people that maybe we chose not to cover due to personal relationships. If reelected, would you change that maybe and put the sagebrush first and maybe personal relationships second?
Absolutely. I think for me, at first I didn't know. You're not really trained on how to deal with situations like that, especially coming in at a point when you're at the university and like you're hanging out with people and you see them and you're finally realizing, okay, what is a working relationship? What is, you know, the difference between being a friend and being a professional? And I think this year that is definitely something that I'll have to do differently, and I will do differently.
I'm not entirely familiar with the job description for the new student media coordinator position,
mm-hmm.
but how do you envision your relationship, or you know, what the relationship between the editor-in-chief, whoever it may be, and that person should be?
Yeah, okay, so I'm glad you actually asked that, because I don't think a lot of people know about that position and what they're going to be doing. So this new position will be advising all the publications and then also taking care of our advertising for the paper. And the way I foresee our relationship being, which is really cool right now, the people that are coming in have a background in usually journalism or marketing, and most of them have worked with publications. So I see this, I see this relationship being really cool, honestly. And because I know that just like looking at some of the people that are applying now are in charge of like starting their own literary arts magazine at their college. And some of them have, you know, helped their university, radio, get all these things done. And I think for me, what I like about it so much is that we're going to be interacting with someone who's been in our shoes, and like as a student, and then also taking on this position, like just being our advisor. So I see it being a really cool working relationship, being real fluent. I mean, they're going to be right next door to me, so we're going to be really close friends. We'll probably get coffee. But, you know, I see them being a really cool asset to the paper, because it seems that everyone's really interested in our publication. And I think, like, just having that attention already on us, and they haven't even met us or seen the publication yet, is really awesome.
How do you feel about native advertising?
native advertising. Native advertising is not really journalism. So I think people get confused just because we do see it on our social media feeds a lot. And it's just not what the Nevada State Press does. So I don't think we have much to worry about.
In August, you joined ATO. How has that affected your job as editor at that time?
So I guess it took up a lot more time than I thought it would. So I joined Alpha Tau Omega this fall, and it's definitely one of the best decisions I've made. I got a lot of cool friends out of it and brothers I'm going to have for the rest of my life. So I have no regrets about joining at all, but I will say that it affected me because I had to redo my schedule. I had to figure it out, you know, because I was a pledge. So I had to figure out, okay, how am I going to fit everything I have to do for ATO around, you know, school, around the Sagebrush, and everything like that. So I wouldn't say it affected anything but just me figuring out how to remanage my time. Because I've always been really good at figuring out, okay, what needs to get done, how do I do it, but it definitely took me for a loop because I didn't realize how big of a time commitment it was going to be. But that was the only thing that really affected. It was just me having to reorganize everything.
Just to follow up, how did it affect your relationship with ASUN, specifically the executive board, as many of them were your brothers?
Overall, I think this has been a really successful year for the Sagebrush. I think that it's really great content. But what would you identify as your biggest regret this year, and how would you address it next year?
Okay. Content-wise or just...
Just in general.
I think my biggest regret is firing Noel Crooks. And I think a lot of people remember that. I just don't. I know that what she did, the reason she was fired was definitely justified, but I think that there should have been more of a process, and I think it had to do with a lot of me being new and a lot of me not knowing how to deal with a situation like that. And it wasn't necessarily the firing that I regret. What I regret is not giving her a due process. And that's something that I pride myself on, is giving someone a shot to explain to me, okay, this is what's going on, and then we'll take care of it. It was kind of, I reacted and she was gone. And I don't want to ever do anything else like that ever again. And that's pretty much, that would be the biggest regret of the year.
Graham?
In what ways do you think she didn't receive a due process? Because I know for a lot of us sitting on deadline with her, we do believe that we tried really hard to communicate with her about our needs and what we needed from her in her position.
I think, the girl got one deadline. So, I think that's really what it is for me. I think, you know, moving into it, we don't know what kind of possibilities we could have had with Noelle. We don't know what she could have done. We don't know, you know, other opportunities she could have brought to the Sagebrush. She could have been an asset this year. We'll never know. So, that's because she's gone. So, I think in the way she didn't receive it was just kind of like, staff came to me, this is what happened, this isn't okay. I understand that, and as the leader of this publication, I should have given her time to figure out what she needed to do differently before we just got rid of her.
Like personal instances.
Okay.
And this was a very related to our staff that how we run the staff.
You're not supposed to talk about individuals when they're not here, I don't know.
Okay. It's more about, I think, how we run the situation than the person.
Yeah. I would use a hypothetical moving forward. Just like using specific organizations, I would just ask, your involvement in other organizations, how will it impact your ability to perform this job? I'm curious about some of the logistics of the how multimedia would work with the videographer. Like, are we, because previously we've made videos in iMovie, so are we going to invest in like Premiere or like some app or something?
Well, because Premiere is offered at the journalism school and the Knowledge Center, we won't really have to invest in it because they will be able to work there. If it comes to the case where they want to be in the office more and they want to, you know, work there and just be there, then we can move forward and see if we have money in our budget for that. And how it's going to work is multimedia editor will be just as responsible as the videographer to come up with ideas and content that are going to be relevant to maybe stories we're working on or staff editorials, and they're going to work together to find different projects throughout the semester to work on. And that will go along with events, concerts, any kind of coverage that a section editor thinks that we should be putting attention on. They will work together to schedule a time for them to come up with some sort of video or content to put out. And I definitely see myself being heavily involved in that.
Can I follow up then? What kind of video content are you kind of creating? Is it more like packages as you would see on the local news stations, or something more like internet-focused short videos like you would see on AJ Plus or Notice?
Yeah, you're the latter. So, like, a good example that I really enjoyed, if you want to, if I, I'll just give you a quick one, was when the RGJ, Michael Higdon, did the quick video about Roberto's, just like stuff like that to accompany a story, and I, it was kind of just like Roberto's is here, open sign, food cooking, people walking in and out, come on by, you know, well not like advertising, come on by, but it just that was the whole idea of it. And I kind of just see the videographer and the multimedia doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, over your year as editor, you have joined organizations or come to things that have invoked possibly a bias on your part, and how have you handled that in the past, or if you haven't, how will you handle that in the future?
I think in the past, I guess I'll just, how I'll handle in the future, because I've never had to deal with anything yet. But I think how I'll deal with it, I always put work first, and I think people know that I'm a, I try to be a pretty stand-up guy, you know, and try and make sure that I hold the morals that, you know, were instilled in me by my mom, you know, to everyday life. So I think that if in my head, if I need to second guess it, then obviously there's something wrong. So, I mean, you just have to hopefully put trust and faith into me, and I think the staff does too, to make the right decision when the decision presents itself.
Do you think that there's a future left in print media, and where do you see Sage Rush in the future
Well, absolutely. I think we'll just touching on the Sage Rush, we're a staple here at the university. We're not going anywhere. We've been here 122 years and counting. So, I mean, the university newspaper is always going to be here, and we're always going to be here serving the students, serving the community as best as we can. I don't think what's happening to print media overall is really, it doesn't really affect us to that full capacity because this is our market here. This is what we're worried about. So, I mean, you know, the problems that the RGJ is facing are not really necessarily the same for us because they're serving a city, we're serving a university. So, I mean, it's just different. And I think as long as we're still, you know, covering what interests students and what's relevant to the university, we'll still have that upper hand because we do have an authority here because we are the news source for the university.
Yeah, well, I guess from a pickup stance, like, have we seen an increase or a decrease in people picking up the newspaper? And depending on where that goes, how do you see yourself adjusting as editor with the...
I think right now we've had a pretty, there hasn't been like a drastic drop or a drastic like up pickup rate count, but it's been pretty steady. It's the same. I don't remember, do you remember the percentage, Nicole, of pickup rates that we have on the
overall?
Not
off the top of my head. I did do a spreadsheet.
Okay.
I'm just not doing it. But
okay.
It's remained fairly consistent and online activities increased.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, we've seen a lot of our stores move on online. They move just a little faster than a hand newspaper one. And that's not bad. At least this, you know, the voices are still getting out there. The ideas are still getting out there. But I do foresee in the future, it won't be in my term, but whoever in the future will definitely need to reevaluate what the pickup rates are, and are they going to need less or more? Because as we're thinking about it, the university is still growing. There's new buildings going up, and we can't deprive students or faculty of getting a sagebrush just simply because we don't have enough to go around. That's our job to figure out.
Sure. So since you've already been involved leading the paper for a year, what are, from your perspective, our content's strengths and weaknesses, and where would you want to see the content go in the next year?
I think right now our strength is when our writers, when our reporters, when our photographers do stuff, they have a full knowledge of what they're doing. And they have a full knowledge of the topic they're talking about. They have a full knowledge on what they're going out to take photos of. And even the opinion section, we get writers who are, you know, writing in there and they feel strongly about a certain topic. They know, I mean, we go in week in and week out and we go into review meetings and we may or may not agree with that person or they may not have the best writing, but I think we can all agree that they care and they have a common knowledge of what they're writing about. So I think our strength is when people take on topics and stories for the paper, they're fully invested and they know what's happening when they go out there. Right now I think a weakness is I think we need to have more variety in each section. You know, I think that, but that's just, that's a, I think something every year they deal with, you know, at the Sagebrush. I think every year diversity within the paper is always a struggle to get. And it's on us, but it's also like what's happening. You can't control news, but you can control, okay, what shows are we going to cover? What topics are we going to talk about? What sports are we going to change it up and cover this year? And I think, the improvement on that for even for sports is just different because I think we can finally agree we haven't seen like 7 stories with the same topic in a row this year, which is nice. So just having that kind of mentality and getting the diversity in there, even though, you know, elections are coming up, that's what we're going to be talking about. You know, our staff editorial should be about that because that's what we want the students to be thinking about. But as far as that goes, I think weakness, diversity, strengths, knowledge.
And then where do you want to see the content go over the next year?
For the next year, I want us to get more, like, I want us to just get us to know our community. I want us out there, you know. They always say, like, oh, people are in the Sagebrush office. Yeah, we shouldn't be in the office. We're journalists. Like, we need to be out there doing stuff. Like, there's no reason why we should be sitting there. We should be out there getting stuff and doing it. So I think this year I just want us to get more in the community, start covering, you know, these businesses that are moving to the university because that's our job. They want to know us, so we should get them known here. So that's really where I want to see the content go.
Let's say you get reelected. How would you define a successful year?
I would define...
For the
Sagebrush. Okay, for the Sagebrush. A successful year, some sort of recognition from ACP, happy staff members, at least the majority, and a new coffee machine. So
yes.
Yeah, so I mean that would be a successful year. And honestly, now like looking at the stories that get things done for people. You know, I wanna. I want to know that after my term as editor-in-chief that someone's life was affected or changed somehow. Because I remember, you know, we had, I forget her name, but there was one girl who received an internship through the White House after, you know, she talked about her story. There's the girl who passed who was in a coma, and we covered that. That actually what's won the pacemaker for the Sagebrush. So I mean, just knowing that we're going out there and it's not just news, it's not just you know, pickups. It's about how are the people in our community being affected by what the Sagebrush is doing. And that's what I care about.
Why are you running for this position again?
I'm running for editor-in-chief again because I know that my time here is not done. I know that I still need to be a leader that the staff needs, and I know that I love what I do. I walk into the Sagebrush, and I, even if I'm having a bad day, my day's better. Even if I have 30 emails, two phone calls from Kathy telling me, you know, I suck. But I mean, like, I love the Nevada Sagebrush. It's helped me grow so much, not just as a journalist, but as a student, as a young man. And I think that it's definitely just something I want to graduate with and know that I'm doing the position, the service it's done for me.
I have one question. Currently, we don't see a lot of data published on Sagebrush in a regular way anywhere. If selected moving forward, what data do you intend to collect and publish?
I guess just that has a lot to do with like what stories are getting the most interaction online too. So it's like, I want to incorporate Google Analytics data alongside all of the pickup rates that we've been getting, because this year I did do something different that I think Chris, he started it, but he just didn't follow up and he thought it was getting done, but it just wasn't. It wasn't really no one to blame, it just wasn't getting done. So no one was recording the pickup rates, but this year I've been fortunate to have distribution recorded down on a paper, and it's the office manager's job to put that data onto a spreadsheet. And I have to actually go through now. I was kind of waiting to see if I was reelected or not, but I need to go through and actually plug in the data and get those numbers, and I plan on publishing those as well. But first, putting it into the media kit, because that's what I'm like really care about the most.
So, back in January 2013, you were a tour guide. 3 years later, how would that guide change if you were in that position again, to be a guide of the university?
Tour
guide again, with the knowledge you know now, how would that change? How would your view of the university change?
Not that, it wouldn't be that different, because I mean, if any of you that know what an ambassador is, we have a script that we have to go off of. There's key things that you have to say for the university. And that's what we sign up to do as an ambassador. But I think my biggest thing would be just being an unconventional student, you know, having a single mother and having a mother who's pretty much doing this on her own. I would probably have more of an open mind, because I still remember my first tour and I didn't think it'd be possible for me to attend this university. And little did I know that I could. So I think giving those tours and just maybe being a little more personal and sharing my story a little more, because then you never know, I could have made someone feel a little more comfortable. And I wish that would have happened for me a little sooner.
All right, thank you. Any other nominees for the position, so we're going to move on to the general debate. We recommend that you leave at this time, but you don't have to do the revised NRS statutes. So we'll begin the discussion. Traditionally, the selection committee reviews the pros and cons for each nominee in the order in which the presentations were given. However, this process is a binding, so basically means we can review them however you'd like to review them. We're going to begin discussion maintaining Robert's rules, so if you have something to say, just put your name up and hand up, I'll call. Go ahead, Colleen.
Okay, so I'd like to start off by saying I think Wolf candidates are qualified for this position, like above and beyond qualified. I think Ryan Soupy is very interested in making and pushing the paper forward to be more community-based and involve more people from the community for more making it more professional, whereas Terrence is, he's still about the students, you know, we're the voice of the students, they're our main audience. But coming from being on this paper for 4 years, I've been through a number of editors, seen what works well, what doesn't work well, and I can very easily say Terrence has been the best editor that I've ever worked under. And in my opinion, if it's not fixed, or if it's not broken, you shouldn't fix it. So I just, in my opinion, think that if he's running again, I don't see why we should try to change things if they've been working so well, which I think, of course, you know, he's not doing everything perfect, but I don't think any editor will. So I think the majority of the staff can agree from just conversations that we've already had that he's done an excellent job with his being an editor for the past year.
Let the record show that Alexis Solis left the room at 2:59. Brand.
So also coming from, I think, not as much of an extensive record with the Sagebrush as Nicole, but I started volunteering at the Sagebrush my first week as a freshman. And I like what both of them have to say, and I really like what Ryan has to say. But I also, coming from somebody who's worked here, and these are discussions we as a staff have every single week on the paper, and these are things that we try to change every single week, and we share a lot of the views he has, but there are a lot more steps to get there than I think he's maybe taking into consideration. And I think Terrence is coming from a place where it's a lot more broken down, and he just wants to fix one thing at a time, which I should really appreciate, because we have a staff of 18 people. Radical change does not happen every week, and it's very, very hard to balance it out.
Jake?
I have to agree with what's been said, especially about Terrence. He has done, I think, a remarkable job. You know, coming really from office manager to editor chief was quite a big jump, but he's shown himself more than capable. More than that, I did like what Subi had to say, but agreeing with Brianna, I think that there's a certain perspective you garner when you're an outsider from the same brush. You see these problems that this newspaper has, and you say, oh, I can fix that. But the reality is, yes, we've been trying. And so Terrence knows the nitty-gritty of how we could actually change that, where Ryan Soupy may have ideas in the future, but until he works on the staff, he won't know them. So I think that jumping straight to editor-in-chief for him after having only worked with the same brush so briefly, it is not the right fit for the paper. And then, you know, coming back to Nicole, and Rob will fix it.
I'd love to record show the words as well as enter the room 3:01 p.m. Alan?
I think knowing both of the candidates, both personally and professionally, I would agree. I think they're more than qualified. I think Ryan Soupy is a lot stronger of a writer. And I think that he could maybe devote more time to trying to maybe gain a new volunteer base and such, but also he's coming into it brand new and a fresh start, whereas to Terrence, who is already doing a great job, knows what is working and what isn't and what he has to improve. And I think instead of starting with a clean slate, he has the advantage because he's going into it saying, okay, this is what worked this year and this is what didn't. I've already done this job, so we can only go up from here.
Tom? I think that Ryan brings like a different kind of leader. I think we talk about how Terrence knows these issues, right? But the thing that I worry about with Terrence is he knows that, you know, Jake and Marcus have been on the front page every single week and that getting volunteers is a thing, and I know you guys have too, but why wasn't that the forefront of the presentation? Is we need to get more people writing, we need to get more people, you know, I know these are issues, here's how I'm going to change them in this next year. And there wasn't really that much of an oversight. But with that, Ryan didn't really have a plan either. He had a broad vision of what a student newspaper was, but it wasn't very, like, and this is how I'm going to fix it with these points. Whereas Terrence has a better idea of that.
Yeah.
I just would also like to mention that when it comes to the breakdown of the staff and how ideas are handled and how decisions are made, Terrence takes every opportunity to listen to his staff and what we want as his staff. also the role that the editor-in-chief serves for our paper is the face of the newspaper, and he deals with the budget, and he deals with communications. But there are roles like Jordan as managing editor that are in charge of shaping content more so than Terrence is, as well as copy editors and each section editor. So Terrence is a final say, but not so much in that he's the one who's supposed to shape the content. That lies in other positions.
Jordan. Right, which is what I also wanted to say in response to that. I mean, I, of course, would like to see the paper more diverse, but because my position deals more directly with helping to shape content, I'm also willing to admit that I'm not a believer in diversity just for the sake of diversity. If Jacob is on the front page of the newspaper every week, it's because he's the best person to be on the front page and his articles are the best. And if we haven't encountered someone else whose writing is consistently worthy of that position, then we have to keep trying until we do, which we do. I mean, we try every single week, and we have people that are really good volunteers. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think that it's always going to be an ongoing problem, and I don't think that Terrence, that really has anything to do with Terrence's leadership abilities.
I also think when it comes to volunteers especially, there are some root problems that, you know, maybe we haven't addressed yet, but I think are very much affecting the way that we should treat it, and that I think neither really Terrence nor Sue addressed. But in my experience, it seems that you know, in an editor position, you should be accepting content. Volunteers should be coming to you with story ideas, and you okay them. You give them the okay to go write that story in the Sagebrush. And I noticed in the J School, especially the lower tier of the classes, where often students are being forced out of their comfort zones to write new stories, they look for someone to give a story to them. And I know myself in particular, I would rather have someone come to me, and I tell my volunteers that, you know, I gave them a couple stories here, but I tell them, if you ever have a story idea, come to me, and no one comes to me. I don't know how an editor fixes that.
This is the job of the editor, though, is to set the agenda and say, hey, this is a problem. What steps are we going to take as a staff to fix it? And if we've known it's been a problem, you know, not like coming after your jobs or anything, that is the editor's job to oversee that and to push that and to say, hey, we need to bring more, let's figure out a strategy. Terrence mentioned having a strategic plan, but I fear that he's very comfortable in where he's at with that, whereas Suki might come in as a different leader and might kind of come in from an outside perspective, where Terrence is in. Terrence, you know, everyone within H1, the Joe people, as Suki said, you know, there is a group of people that know about the Sageverse, that work for H1 and things like that. And I think that maybe Ryan might be able to come with a different perspective and get more volunteers.
I would just like to say that almost, I think for me and my experience in going through both editor selections, everything Ryan mentioned as far as bringing editors or volunteers to the Sagebrush is exactly what Terrence also mentioned last year, and those are initiatives that he did do at the beginning of this year, and we held many events for volunteers trying to bring in volunteers. He bought pizza for all of them, and the issue is that they do not want to stay, and it was very, very hard to keep them, and it's also hard because we can send you the stories they've submitted us that we just can't run.
No, I get
it. And it's the worst process, but I'm just saying that Ryan has a lot of ideas for this kind of thing, but they're not ideas that are specific to only him, and they are ideas that I think everyone on staff has tried to push through to our paper, and it's just a lot harder. And I think that goes down to the feasibility of what both of them want.
I might need a second.
So, not talk, like, we know that that's an issue. I guess going back to Ryan, there were some things that I liked about his vision for the overall paper as really coming from a place of challenging ASUN, and I think that he has a really good understanding. You can see by what he wrote about the First Amendment as to what Terrence wrote. I think that, like, Ryan really gets that as, say, from the newspaper perspective. He has a little bit more thought involved in that. And I think that is a pro for Ryan.
Cool.
That is the one thing that I really did enjoy about Ryan's presentation is the idea that we don't necessarily need to have this great, loving relationship with ASUN, because I do think that that has hurt us on both a professional level and a personal level this year alone. There have been multiple things that we could have covered, but certain relationships or what have you have affected with that. So I think his idea of not worrying about, oh, we need to be good with ASUN, was a great idea. And I think that whoever is elected, they should try to strive for that. Not having a bad relationship with them, but it does need to be a great relationship with them, because we are trying to report on them. And if they do something bad, like, we need to report on that. We shouldn't let our personal relationships affect that.
Just to go off both of those things, I would say that's absolutely 100% a pro for Ryan Zuppi. I don't think he would ever let anything that ASUN is doing or any of his personal relationships ever get in the way of what he's reporting. I think his number one goal is that he would be editor-in-chief, and if that means that he's stepping on maybe his friend's toes to report the news, he would do it. That being said, I think, especially maybe with a recent occurrence happening, I think it's been brought to Terrence's attention that was an issue in his job this year, and he has acknowledged to me personally and professionally that if he was reelected, that would be a huge thing in the future that he would change, because he already stated that he regretted maybe not putting the newspaper first. So.
I have to agree that it's very attractive. Like, I love that Zuppi is absolutely, you know, concerned with the newspaper doing its job as a reporter of the news. But I also think that doesn't necessarily mean that Terrence isn't concerned with that, and I don't think that Terrence's personal relationships have stopped me from straining relationships between ASU and the city. So I think that it's certainly a pro, but it's not a negative against Terrence.
I kind of agree with Zuppi to an extent. I'm a huge, I greatly appreciate the same threshold in the ASU and accountable, especially Jacob, for everything you've done this year. I really think it's necessary. I think the way Zuppi made it sound is that he thinks that Sage Rush and ASUN kind of need to operate as enemies, which is what I disagree with. I think that the Wolfpack's best program and initiative really showed what ASUN and Sagebrush working together can accomplish, and I think that we do need a working relationship between ASUN and the Sagebrush, but I do think that both of them have a good sight on where those lines need to be drawn and the personal relationships need to be separated.
I also think that, like, I love everything Zuppi was saying about how we should hold them accountable, because, I mean, that's the role of a newspaper, especially if you go to our alumni events and stuff, like, all of the old editors still hate each other. It's kind of really interesting to me. And whereas I think maybe it did hold Terrence back in some ways, I also kind of view it as a pro in a lot of ways, because we as a staff are still, like, Jacob and Caden definitely have beef, right? But, and as much as I think maybe nobody on the staff enjoyed Kate and Fabi coming to talk to us, I still think that Terrence's initiative to at least try to maintain some sort of working relationship is a very important thing.
I was just going to say something very similar. I'm not an ASUN hater by any means. I think that they don't get the credit that they necessarily deserve in certain aspects. So I definitely think, although that I do think that we should definitely report on some things that we don't do to personal relationships. I absolutely think that there should be a working relationship between us two, because right now there's zero. I mean, we hate Caden coming into our office because we don't have communication, and I would like to see that move forward, and I think maybe Terrence would be better at following through with that, just because he knows how it is right now due to the position that we're in. And he's very open to communication, and I think that would be beneficial in the future.
So I think that it's also important to keep in mind that, you know, I, like, objectively also see it as a pro that Ryan is, you know, more heavily emphasizing the need to be a watchdog and things like that. But at the same time, Terrence's penchant for trying to preserve these kinds of relationships directly speaks to his personality and to his leadership style. So I think it's important for everyone to remember that is the same attitude that he approaches, you know, managing the staff with. You know, he's always made it a priority for all of
the Sagebrush to be on good terms with each other and to have good working relationships with each other professionally and personally. And he's always made the effort to make sure that there is open and honest dialogue between everyone on staff. And I think that that has improved a lot of things in the way that we all work together and has greatly increased the capacity for what we're able to do when we're working as a staff and not just individual people in individual sections who sometimes hate each other.
To go off of that as well, I think that many of us on the staff have different personalities. I think going into working at the Sagebrush and being brand new, I think that if somebody like Terrence or Terrence himself wasn't a leader, I don't think necessarily we might all mesh well or have become, you know, like a working family, so to speak, if we didn't have somebody like Terrence as our leader. I don't think anybody really could lead better than he could or be as open to change or be as passionate about the position as he is, or his staff members for that matter. He cares about every single one of us and knows what needs to be changed what's working for us.
I would also add that Ryan didn't seem to have a strong sense of the managerial responsibilities involved in the job. I have watched Terrence grow a lot in that regard over the last year, and something I've really appreciated is that specifically in regard to advertisers, he has definitely drawn the line about advertisers having any relationship to content, but he has also understood that that's a relationship, and so there have been a couple of instances where he's reached out personally to advertisers and called them and just had a conversation and made it clear that, you know, no, we write what we write, and you have no role in that, but, you know, this is a relationship, we respect you, we value your business, and so we've been able to keep remain on good terms with those advertisers, which I think takes some subtlety to sort of understand and develop.
I think that Ryan had a nice, he had a good vision for the paper that he talked about a lot, and I think that was a really big pro for me because he was forward-thinking as to what he wants the paper to look like, whereas Terrence, being the editor, you know, he's not going to talk about that as much, but he, you know, was talking about very systematic things within Sagebrush. Where I liked as from a Ryan would be a very different, the opposite kind of a leader from Terrence. I mean, you can tell by his body language during his presentation and just how he presented himself. But I liked the fact that he was thinking holistically about the vision of the paper, what it would look like. Though he didn't have a plan, which I do think is the con to it. He had the vision, but it wasn't like, and this is how I'm going to achieve that, which is the issue.
Here's my concern about that vision, and I do think it's so important to have a clear vision, but I don't think being a student newspaper is anything to be embarrassed about or disparage. I think it's something to be really proud of. And the student body is an important stakeholder in the community, but I have concerns about collapsing that distinction and sort of losing the identity of the student body and just becoming another community paper, because we've got those. But the Sagebrush, you know, does have a responsibility to serve the student body.
I was just gonna say, I think maybe my one concern, I think Supi, if he was elected, he would 1,000% get things done. I think he has more time than Terrence does, but I think that he might, my only concern, and I don't know if this is true or not, is that maybe he would infringe a little bit on the creativity that we have. Being the student newspaper, like I had mentioned before, obviously certain pieces that I write or pride myself on and my volunteers do are pieces that would not show up in the RJJ by any means. And I think that's what makes our student newspaper special. And I never feel like creativity is ever held back by Terrence. If anything, I think he encourages that with every section, and he's always up for new ideas. And that would be my only thing, is if I know Ryan, and I know the type of person he is, and if he is very set in his ways, and I just wouldn't want him to control maybe what we're doing individually, or what the future position editors are doing individually too much.
Going back to the point about having a vision for the paper, Subi articulated what his vision for the paper is, but at the end of the day, that's his vision for the paper. Terrence didn't articulate his vision for the paper because the vision for the paper is something that he encouraged us all to form collectively. We're not operating off of Terrence's vision as a leader. Terrence is coming to all of us and saying, what do you want your section to be? You know, how do you think we should go from here? He's coming to me and saying, what do you think of the content? You know, what should we be covering? And he's going talking to section editors about it as well. So the vision that we have is the vision that we all have. And I think that's a very important distinction to understand when we're talking about how people are going to lead the paper. And I also think that it's important to remember that last year Ryan Supi was on this selection committee, and Ryan Supi cast his vote after a very lengthy discussion about what would be best for the staff, for the person that the staff unanimously agreed would be the worst for the staff. Those of us on the board sat here and said, if you elect this person, none of us will come back, and Supi went ahead and voted for that person anyway. So that deeply concerns me about his future as a leader and what his leadership style would be, because having, even though he said he didn't see it as a boss-like role, I am very concerned that it will, that the workplace dynamic would be one of him kind of trying to push his views and his vision onto the rest of the staff, and those are decisions that need to be made collectively as an editorial board.
I guess what it is that Brian started with the mission statement. You look at the mission statement, that guides the organization. I'm sure, like, whatever your guys' mission statement is now, that's just something that you look back to. I felt like that is something that's concrete, that I know, at least with Wolfpack Radio, we all know what our mission statement is, and that's what we all strive to do, right? And we're always able to look back at that to help push us and guide us as to, you know, who we let on air and things like that. And that's one of the things that I liked about Ryan. I don't think that Terrence misses that. I just worry sometimes about him looking to the future. I think that things are, you know, with the Sagebrush are good and things are going great, but there's just not a lot of looking forward on as to, okay, well, where are we going to be in 2 years? Where are we going to be in 5 years? How are we going to get more people in? And that's what kind of just concerns me. Not that Ryan had a plan to do that either, though. And so it was just, I like the thing that Ryan said about focus groups. I think that was great. You know, see what the students want and things like that. But it was just kind of a general, like, looking towards the future that concerned me a little bit with Terrence. In addition to that, it was like with the questions like, how do you plan on getting students engaged with the social media? We held a workshop with the, I forget her name, from the RGJ. And Terrence wasn't there. Whereas that would have been a great moment for him to be there because I learned a ton. I know, Zach, I know you learned a ton. And it's like, well, why wasn't Terrence there? You know, like, we put together this workshop where we're talking to someone from the RGJ who runs all their online content, and that's such a big focus right now. And that concerns me.
So I guess after that and the previous comment, I have several things to say. First off, coming from somebody who, when I started working at the paper, I worked under an editor that I believe held a vision and a way of running the paper that would be very similar to Ryan Supi. And I also, when I worked at the paper last year, there were actual distinctive groups of people that all hated each other. And we were not a working staff, and it was not a pleasant workplace, and I think everybody who worked there can agree that it was miserable, and we were not making work that we were proud of because we didn't want to come into work. And I also sat on the staff and voted against the person Ryan Supi endorsed, and I also find that very concerning because he also held a very similar vision for the paper that Ryan Supi had, and he also held a very similar disposition that I think Ryan Supi had, and that really concerns me to my core because I've been there where working in a hostile environment is not productive on any level, even though I agree with Ryan Supi's vision. Also, I agree with the Karen Roblin thing. I would like to know that I know Terrence has a very good working relationship with Karen Roblin, as do I, and we have those discussions all the time. And I have one more. Oh, the mission statement. Another thing that really concerns me with Ryan Soupy, and I know I would have liked for Terrence to have mentioned a mission statement in his presentation, but actually when Ryan Soupy was talking, I brought up my resume because I have a mission statement that I feel fully fulfills what we at the paper do, and it clearly states that our vision is to highlight student voices and make a positive change in our growing student body. And I think that what Ryan was mentioning completely contradicts that, and I would hate to lose that. So that's my
thoughts. Nicole?
Yeah, a couple of things. The mission statement he used was not from our paper, and we do actually have a mission statement for the Sagebrush. Which, well, I know you know, but I think that just reflects a sort of a top-down approach that, I mean, what I heard was a lot of change this, this is done badly, which honestly made me feel a little protective because I would prefer to see more of a strengths-based approach and, you know, this is what we're doing really well and how we can build on that. My other concern that's kind of unrelated to that is just that in regard to his position at ASUM, I haven't seen a lot of marketing. I think the job responsibilities section on his resume is a little thin, and just as a student, as a graduate student, granted, I haven't really seen it, I guess, in the public sphere. So I'm not sure. I don't know. It doesn't seem to have been a very active position this year.
Okay. On that note, I know for me, I wouldn't have seen what Soupy was doing in that because I wasn't looking for it. I know that I probably would have overlooked things like that if it wasn't in my sphere. So I know that it would be, for me, irresponsible to discount his job in that sense, just based on I was looking to see ACUN's PR stuff, so I probably would have overlooked that.
Just in terms of his, and I'm not, I wasn't looking for like actual marketing materials or anything, but as a public relations professional and his maintaining of a relationship with the Nevada Sagebrush, which is part of the job description, it was poor. Wasn't good. He didn't do a good job of trying to maintain an active relationship or anything of the sort. I think he reached out once or twice, maybe for the test to more specifically. But it wasn't good. It didn't demonstrate any sort of like initiative or push to really further the proper information. I don't think it did anything for his in that sense with us. Now, in regards to marketing material, I wasn't looking. And then I wanted to address social media as well, because I think that even though Soupy did mention like tweeting more, I think that Terrence, granted he has an inner knowledge of the way we work, he had the multimedia position and like, and he knew that it needed to be restructured, and he mentioned it, and he had a plan for that. And I think to me that's important in terms of social media.
Jacob, addressing first, Mr. Soupy's tenure as a public relations professional for ASUN. We did have a poor relationship, and I think that was largely just because there was a lack of communication. He never sent me any kind of materials. He never sent me an email if it wasn't to try and inject something that he or his assistant, Mr. Aguiar, had written themselves and wanted to put in the news section. And that was a little offensive to me, that public relations material, I don't know, they wanted to put that in the paper as news. And beyond that, he only ever sent me the what could be called the thinnest outline of a press release after Kate and Fabi and I had a very prolonged discussion about what the relationship between ASUN and Sagebrush should be. He sent me two of those, and then they stopped. So, I mean, that's the relationship I've had with Mr. Soupy. And then as to Terrence's
vision for the future, I think it's an ongoing one, and I think it is, as Jordan said, one that involves the entire staff. Because, you know, when he brings up the videographer, that's something that myself and our sports editor talked to him about. He said, you know, we have these opportunities to make videos, why can't we? He said, I like it, let's do that. And when we install Google Analytics, that's something Alexa brought. That's when we, this is an ongoing process that we're all involved in. And I do worry a little bit about the top-down approach, that it would close out some of the feedback that I think the staff does provide.
Yeah, and I think we can look at Brian Soupy, he put together the AH1 newsletter, and if you guys ever saw the AH1 newsletter, every single one was by the same person writing, and so it doesn't give me much faith that he's going to be able to bring in more diverse writers for Sagebrush in general if he can't even do that for the newsletter.
I'd say going off of that as well, I think an enormous part of the Sagebrush is readership and outreach and getting people to read what we're writing, because not everybody cares about articles or journalism or whatever else. I think that Terrence's involvement in a million different things could be looked at as a con, but it could also be looked at as a heavy pro. People on this campus know Terrence Bynum. And people pick up the newspaper because Terrence Bynum is our editor-in-chief, and because he's a popular face on campus, and because he's so passionate about the Sagebrush. And my fear is, if Soupy did get the position, maybe readership would go down because, you know, it's not as familiar of a face, and yeah, maybe it would be more diverse in our volunteer base, but I genuinely don't think it would increase readership.
On a personal level too, I can think of many times that Terrence has been able to introduce me to people that will help my own personal career, as well as introduce me to people that are now my volunteers, and introduce me to people that have really good story ideas. And he has brought in a lot of pretty good story ideas. I also just wanted to mention that on his own personal PR level, Ryan Soupy, after quitting the Sagebrush, did not really maintain a working relationship with any of us. And after making the decision to run for editor, Ryan Soupy did not, to my knowledge, approach any of us to ask what we wanted for the newspaper. And that's pretty important to me. Because when Terrence did run the first time, he asked every single one of us individually what we wanted with our newspaper and how we could best do that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say just from, I think just Ryan brings a different kind of leader. I think that his presentation was boring, his body language was bad, and I don't know if that helps, if that would help the Sagebrush right now.
I mean, from my perspective on, a more personal level, this is what it comes down to for me. You have, on one hand, Ryan Soupy, who had an opportunity to get his foot in the door at the paper over a year ago and turned it down for something that would look better on his resume, and now wants to come back because he's decided that this is what he wants to do. And on the other hand, you have Terrence, who worked his way up from literally the least important job on the entire staff to a leader that we're all, I think, very proud of, and who actually has turned down other, maybe more lucrative job opportunities because he cares so much about the Sagebrush that he recognizes that this is where his loyalties lie and this is what he wants to continue to do, not just for himself, but for all of us.
Tom, I don't want to discount Ryan as being some selfish guy that's just doing it for his resume. Terrence obviously is doing this for his resume too. I guess the other thing I would say is when Soupy left, you guys are such a tight staff, which Terrence has been a big part of that, bringing you guys together. Let's not discount, maybe he felt a little like he couldn't come in. He couldn't come, rejoin you guys or something. I just don't want to, say, oh, Soupy's doing this for personal motives and things like that.
I'm not saying that he's doing it purely for personal motives.
Because I think he has a love for Brittany.
I haven't seen any evidence of that since he left.
I think it's just hard because as a staff, I think at some point we've all been yelled at, and at some point we've all yelled at each other, and we've all gotten in arguments, and we've all been very upset with each other, and Terrence is still here, and I think Soupy was actually friends with us all when he left, and he never came back, and he never maintained that. I mean, he's written quite a few times, and to be fair, his pieces are some of our favorites as a staff, because he's a really funny writer, and to this day, his story about balding men is my favorite. But I just, it means a lot more to me to have somebody that I personally have gotten in, like, a full-on argument with, and we're still best friends later, and he still comes back every day, as do I, and that means a lot more to me.
I also think it's important to note that he was forced to leave his position because he's not allowed to hold ASRM position while working at the Sagebrush. So while I absolutely agree with what both Brianna and Jordan said, I do think he still could have volunteered or kept a better relationship with us personally. He was forced to leave his position.
Another thing I'll say on behalf of Ryan Soupy, I am notorious for getting writers to cancel on me 10 minutes before I should be turning something in. And if it is the number one person that out of my entire volunteer basis that I could count on for a piece within the hour, it's Ryan Soupy. So I will say, all being said, there's not another person that I could count on to belt out a might not be the best quality piece, but it's never something that we're like, oh, this is horrible. He's never allowed to write for us again. So I will say, I can always count on him for a piece, and he is there last minute.
Yeah. I think something that's coming out too is Ryan's a very talented writer. You have all addressed that, and I think that Terrence is a talented leader. And I do think that Terrence is showing he has the leadership skills to manage staff and keep these relationships working, whereas Soupy has shown that he can build those, he doesn't quite have them yet, and that he'd be an asset in the writing sections of the person's acting.
Jordan.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, too. I think that, I mean, that no one on staff would ever question his writing abilities at the same time that we all acknowledge that we keep Terrence out of writing sometimes. But it's because that those two skills, I mean, Terrence's skills lie elsewhere, and Terrence's skills are best suited to the position that he has. I would personally love to see Ryan Soupy as a section editor or as a staff writer, because I think that he would add a lot of value to the paper in that way. I just don't see his skills. That's where I see his skills suited. I don't see them suited to lead the entire paper.
I was just going to second that. I think Soupy is an exceptional writer, especially when he puts effort into things. And I would love, if I get the opportunity to work for the Sagebrush again, I would love him to be on staff. I think that he would be a huge asset, and that everybody loves reading his pieces, and I think that he would be stronger as a section editor. Or if we were fortunate enough to add those two positions, in my book, he would be the first person I would choose to be one of those writers, because he is so strong and versatile. I just don't necessarily think maybe his leadership skills are what we need right now. Or I don't think they would necessarily better us in any way.
So right now, what I'm going to do really quickly is move into item number 5, public comment. Is there any public comment? Seeing that, we're going to move into item number 6, voting and appointment of the Nevada Sagebrush editor. So we'll move into a roll call vote where you will say the name of the candidate that you're in favor of, or you can abstain, reasons to abstain due to personal conflict of interest. That being said, just being a friend with someone isn't necessarily a conflict of interest if there isn't a power dynamic in the relationship. Obviously, working for someone isn't going to be a conflict of interest because there's no way around it in this position. So if there is a conflict of interest, we ask that you disclose that conflict of interest, and then you can either abstain from the vote or vote based on the merits of the candidate.
Wow.
Is there a race going on?
I think it's fireworks. They were setting off firecrackers earlier.
Okay. So we will now move into a roll call vote.
Okay. Jordan Russell.
Terrence Biden.
That's my TV sir. Nicole.
Oh, if you want this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Terrence Bynum.
Alexis Lewis.
Terrence Bynum.
Allie Schultz.
Terrence Bynum.
Brianna Denny.
Terrence Bynum.
Nicole Aldridge.
Terrence Bynum.
Zach Quidisco.
Terrence Bynum.
Leona Novio.
Bynum.
Thomas Snyder.
Bynum.
Brandon. Terrence Bynum. Sister Hannah Hanger.
Terrence.
Alright. The eyes have, or Terrence Bynum wins by unanimous vote.
So the selection committee has selected Terrence Bynum to the editor of the Ohio Sagebrush. Tom, can you please get the candidates? Congratulations to Editor-in-Chief Bynum. Thank you for the candidates. I'm now going to move into item number 7, announcements. Are there any announcements? Anything like to make? No? All right. Moving into item number 8, adjournment.
At 3:40.
So that's probably too big for you to email.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours.